Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Eleven o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget Monday's football coverage presented by Busey Bank, where they're focused on your success. At Busey Bank, they've been building business and growing wealth since 1868. Learn more at buseybank.com. It is a Monday, so Andy Reid will have his press conference exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan. That is coming up about an hour from now as the Chiefs get set to welcome in the Houston Texans for Sunday night football. Hope you're being safe out there. We were just talking about the weather with Rob Brin came in. We were talking about the roads and stuff. Does anybody know? Like, I thought this was supposed to end around 2, which it still could, but I thought at one point we were getting like 2 inches of snow. It feels like we're getting 4 or 5 inches of snow today.
I just got the early release email. So I guess we'll see you guys later.
Yeah.
So I can go meet the kids off the bus.
That's for your kid. The early release is for your kids, not for you, Cody. It's for the kids. Oh. Yeah.
Off all week. And then
I'm sure the smile got real big. I said, wait, early release? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, kid? Dude, I'll see y'all later. Best. And my kids, even though they'd been away from school for like 9 days, of course, when you have that kind of break, they both were like, oh, we don't want to go to school today. I'm like, tough. You got to go.
First day back is tough, I'm sure. Yeah, first day back. We've all been there.
Get back in the routine,
man. Reminder, if you're at home, because maybe you're fortunate enough, you can work at home, so you don't have to drive to the office. If that is you, you can watch the show on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, X. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. And of course, you guys know you can listen on the Odyssey app. For those of you that have to be out in the elements, we appreciate it. I know there's a lot of people that are keeping the roads clear for us on MoDOT, KDOT, so we appreciate that. Or whatever municipality you're working for. I know we've got multiple listeners that have texted in the past about that. So we appreciate you guys making sure the roads are good. Someone from a FedEx driver just texted and said, not having fun today.
I'm going to be looking for a road update about 1:30 today. I think 1:30 today, right? We're getting ready to hit the road.
Having to drive like as a delivery driver, get out of the truck, drop the package off, get back in on a weather day like today. What's worse, do you think, for that person? Texter can respond. 105 degree heat index and all that, or this?
I mean, it's got to be this, doesn't it? From a driving perspective?
I'm talking about from the whole deal.
Yeah. Like, if you're a mailman, that's a good question, right?
But you're sweating your ass off dropping off, carrying packages in July.
I prefer the heat.
Times where I do, like today, where if like walking the dog outside, if I did not have a dog, I don't think I'd care about the winter weather as much. With the dog, I hate this.
Yeah, it's
and
the
I
worst.
Grew up here. I'm used to this. Is nothing. We all like that's it. We'll get to this during stock up or stock down. Like, we've all been through this enough at this point in time.
Yeah, I'd say so. Let's talk a little bit about the Chiefs and Cowboys game. You and I were off the air on Friday, Black Friday. Drew, Mac, and Bink and others took care of the shows that day for us. And I think you asked a fair question. Like, we didn't get a chance to talk about it. What were the takeaways from this team for it? We can all list certainly a couple that were in there. I know one that's universal that all three of us, so let's put this one aside. Yeah. We can have six others. Trent McDuffie got worked in that game, and it was impossible to ignore. I mean, genuinely, at the end of that game, you're like, damn, that's the first time I'd watch Trent McDuffie just get beat up. CeeDee Lamb put him in a blender for the entire four quarters of that game. It was ugly.
That was surprising because we know Trent McDuffie is one of the best corners in football, and that doesn't change just because of the performance. But that was the first time I can remember where a wide receiver just throughout the day, you know, was able to get the best of him. And there were some times where the coverage was actually good, but CD Lamb is just that good of a receiver. There were other times where they just kind of attacked him. I hadn't seen that in his time in the NFL. So that was what was kind of stunning. That it's one thing for us to talk about the lack of a pass rush or that they're attacking, you know, I'll just throw out, you know, Noel Williams or Josh Williams or Jalen Watson, who is also having a great year, by the way. But that was surprising. So that was definitely, you're right. All three of us mentioned that this morning when we were talking about our takeaway. The other part for me, I thought as much as in the first 7 or 8 weeks of the season that I thought Andy Reid was really, really aggressive with how he approached fourth downs, I felt like in this game against Dallas in particular that there were multiple instances where I didn't understand the punt, the decision to punt and try to pin back the Dallas Cowboys. It seems like now that Harrison Butker seems to be in a groove again and all that, that he's kind of gone back to his pre-Butker struggle, conservative nature of play call.
Being aggressive is going to be the reason they lose a game.
It goes back to our theory early on in the year. Not only was it because the team was struggling, but because they weren't able to be as reliant with Butker that they were willing to be more aggressive. Now I feel like some of the range is extended again. They have peeled it back. And I think that is a problem, one of many, that I saw on Thursday.
That one stands out to me. I agree with you on that. I will say, and this goes back to the one of my observations, which is frustrating about this team. I don't think the offense is broken. I think it might be genuinely one of my biggest observations on the season is the offensive plan was not a bad one. It is not a bad offense. It is a good offense most of the time. Mm-hmm. They are the least clutch offense I feel like I've seen in Kansas City in 20 years. They are less clutch than power time, game time moments, fourth quarter with Alex Smith, the quarterback. In the most pivotal moments of the game, this team falls apart. They make some dumb holding call. They get called for a face mask.
Drop
the ball when it hits, you know, like catches that Rashee Rice could make. I don't know what it is. It is the least clutch offense, but overall the offense does work. Now I will say, will it continue to work without an offensive line? I don't know. I mean, you know, they're going to be without their left tackle probably the rest of the season.
Yes.
Their right tackle could come back this week, but he's going to be what percentage?
As long as it's Jalen Moore in there instead of we saw with Wanye in that little snippet,
I think it would be Jalen at left tackle. We just know Josh Simmons is not playing on Sunday already. I mean, he's probably done for the year.
Yeah, he's probably done for the year. And they made it work with Jalen Moore in the time that he was absent, Simmons anyway. So, like, it can still work. And, Trey Smith will come back eventually, although it doesn't sound like they're optimistic. This will be the week. It's a tough week to try to get something done offensively. You're going to have to win a game against the Texans that they've been winning all year. They love playing 17, 14 games where Will Anderson tees off. So, but I don't hate the offense. The takeaway from my game is I don't hate the offense. It's stupid, but I don't.
There was one thing, too. I think one of the things that, Mac and I eventually got to it as well, and some texter there, I don't know who it was, but they ran us some numbers. And halftime, I don't know if you saw this, Nate tweeted out that George Karlaftis had one pressure in 16 potential attempts.
Mm-hmm.
And we got on a topic just about George Karlaftis in general, and now the contract, I know we talked about him being a good deal, but that's if he continues to get better, where now you're looking at his trajectory from a pressure standpoint is as good as it was in his rookie year. From a sack perspective, he's not going to hit double figures at the pace that we're going at. And that, I think, led to a conversation of this team doesn't, and that's with Chris Jones taking double teams away as well. And then, and I know this is something that we talked about previously as well when George got the extension was, if he can't win when Chris Jones is getting double teamed, and he has had a great little stretch of games, where is George Karlaftis going to produce when he's just got to go up, or he's the guy? Like, if he can't get it when Chris Jones is taking a guy away, then when is he ever going to be able to fulfill that contract, if you will, and the money is being paid?
Yeah, the front four is a mess, a complete mess. It's been a failure in 2025. That falls on Brett Veach. It falls on Spags to a certain extent. I feel more than anybody, it falls on Brett Veach and just what has happened on the defensive line. Guys that they brought back
haven't been the same, right? Charles Omenihue, I think, you know, not that I would have paid Turk Warren the contract he got in Carolina. I'm not suggesting that Brett Veach should have paid him, but that's been a clear issue for them. Yeah, some bad injury luck as well, right? It all happened. Sure. This is life in the NFL. There's a lot of things that contributed to it. I personally still have no problem with the Karloftis contract, and I know that might be controversial considering his play. I still have no problem. He, though, is the king of the I almost got him. Like that. How many times throughout this season? Like they
especially
are,
early, they, especially
just by
early.
An eyelash.
Yeah, like just another half second, and he gets soaked. And that's what makes it even more frustrating watching him. But you're right. I mean, Chris Jones is getting double teamed. George Karloftis, you're not winning quick enough one on one, and that's a problem. And this is why, and we'll have more of an offseason conversation, I think, about this. This is why, despite Trent McDuffie being a top corner in the league. This is why I think in the offseason, yeah, you would have to entertain whatever trade discussions come your way. Mm. As tough as that is. And look,
you could turn that into a pass rusher.
And that
which
sucks.
Would be more
valuable. Like, I was talking about this with somebody this weekend. It sucks because, one, Trent McDuffie, first class guy. I think he's a fan favorite. He is one of the best corners in football. He's going to demand, as he should, one of the top contracts for a corner in the league. But because of the other issues on the roster, most notably, we're talking about right now, this front four. The best path to potentially fixing that might have to be subtracting him to get multiple top draft picks. And that sucks, but that might be their best path to fixing this issue on the defense long term. That's all.
There was one play, too, in that Bills-Steelers game where Josh Allen threw a pick because they got jumped the slant. The Chiefs couldn't jump. George Pickens turned into Michael Thomas. He was prime Michael Thomas on Sunday at times where he was running a slant every single time. And some of it just was they couldn't time it up, or they were able to get whatever they wanted with Pickens in the slant, or even CeeDee had a slant. I think.
And look, the Cowboys are right now playing. I mean, I'll say this: like this is there. A lot of the issues we saw are stuff we have been talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah,
but there's also part of me. Look, the Dallas Cowboys are playing about as good at football as anybody right now. They're hot. Pickens is a stud. He's having a great year. Contract year, undefeated, as the late Terrez Paylor would say. And boy, oh boy, is it going to pay off for George Pickens. CeeDee Lamb is still that guy. Dak's playing great. And Quinton Williams has changed that defense. I don't know if the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs or not, but nobody wants to play the Dallas Cowboys right now.
No. And I will say, and that kind of goes back to like, and this is the toughest part about going back to the playoff stuff, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. You know, my other takeaway from the game is Patrick Mahomes is still that dude. He just is. Like, he's still on pace, despite all the trouble this year and all the weirdness, 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns and 10 picks, and he's going to put another statistical season and a better rushing year than he's probably had at any point in his NFL career, even though that's died down. And it's just like, I got so frustrated watching that game, as I mentioned earlier in the show, thinking, like, you're all letting this man down. Like, not for every game this season, but for that one, it definitely felt that way. And I still feel like if there's a run in this team, you'd asked earlier, if there's a five-game run. If there's a five-game run in this team, it's got to be on that man's back. Let's just face the reality. Also, I think he's frustrated with the offense.
Oh, well,
I think it's fairly obvious that he is, like, frustrated with some of the calls or the way that they're running the offense right now, and he knows what it's capable of. And I think he's starting to get, for the first time in the entire time I've watched Patrick Mahomes the Chief, I think he's annoyed by it. Like, last year they didn't have fun, and this year they're not having fun, and they're not winning. So it sucked all the fun out of it. So business Patrick is here. And the problem is that I think they play better when they're playing loose. And that might be going back to why they're so not clutch as a team, is that everything is tight. They feel the pressure of every game. They're starting the playoffs this Sunday against the Texans for Sunday Night Football, essentially, right? It's like every game the rest of the way is do or die. And it was pretty much for weeks. It was against the Colts. You and I mentioned the only game they could lose to the Cowboys, and I don't know. That game was just another ruined holiday, you know? That's what you go back to your initial thought. No more games on Thanksgiving. No more games on Christmas, please. Although there is one on Christmas this year.
It just looks like it looks like open heart surgery for the offense. Like it is. If it's not
overly complicated.
It looks so difficult to actually execute. And I know that they still scored 28 points, but for them to they also punted the ball four straight times, like, and that's where they ended up getting down. They didn't double dip. It just feels like it's the most difficult thing in the world to put points on the board when you've got arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, arguably the greatest coach of all time, and for the most part, a set of healthy weapons, and then an offensive line that has been relatively healthy throughout this entire season up until the last week or so.
Yeah, the first 15 scripted plays were amazing. It was maybe the best game plan going in that they had. I mean, they looked awesome. they were marching right down the field. Then, yeah, some injuries hit them, but adjustments were made by the Cowboys, and the Chiefs did not have really the counterpunch there.
Certainly not defensively. If I had told you going into the season they were the 7th best points per game offense, 9th best point per game defense, and 6th in yards per play this season, what would we all assume their record was?
Sure, what are they now, 6-6? They're probably 9-3, I bet.
Or 10-2.
Yeah.
You're going to talk to me into undefeated borderline with those stats. Eh.
It's been a frustrating season. There's no debating that. Now, the current playoff field is bizarre because of that. Oh, this is not just Kansas City. I mean, the teams we're used to seeing atop, the Ravens, the Lions, the Bills, the Chiefs, are virtually nowhere to be found in that. Now, the Ravens are currently the AFC North leader. The Bills are currently in a playoff spot. The Detroit Lions are not. The Chiefs are not. I mean, it is really strange. It seems to be wide open. Right now, here's the playoff field in the AFC. Your one seed getting a bye would be the Denver Broncos, who I still can't figure out that they keep winning, and they're winning, and they're making the big plays every time they need it, to their credit. I still don't think Bo Nix is capable of winning if they don't get the one seed 3 games in a row throughout the playoffs, but somebody's going to have to. The Patriots would be the 2 seed they play tonight. Jags, Ravens, and the wild cards would be Chargers, Colts, and Bills. And as we all know, the teams looking on the outside looking in, Texans, Steelers, Chiefs there, 8, 9, 10 spots in the AFC. On the NFC side, it's the Chicago Bears as the number one seed, the Rams, the 2 seed, Eagles, the 3. They seem to be in free fall mode a bit. The Bucks would be the 4. Seattle, Packers, Niners rounding out the playoff field. Can you tell me who you actually trust that you think is capable of winning multiple games in the playoffs right now on either side?
Do you want me to pretend to give you an answer? The Rams, I think.
Because
they just lost to the Panthers. And I'm gonna let that not bother me because the Panthers are playing competent NFL football and you're not going to win every game in the league. The Rams is legitimately the only answer I have for you that I feel confident will win multiple playoff games this year. Zero other teams would I give that answer to in assurance.
Yeah, the Rams, before the Panthers game, everybody, I think, universally said, oh, they're the best team in football. If the Super Bowl was coming up this past weekend, they would have won. Well, fortunately, it wasn't the Super Bowl for them because, as you said, Carolina was with them for the entire game, and they were the better team throughout the game. Matthew Stafford had far too many turnovers. Give Carolina credit for that. I think for me, and this is bizarre because I'm still talking about guys that just don't have much experience in the playoffs. I mean, Bo Nix has, one playoff win? Is that right? He won last year, didn't he, in his first game? Drake May hasn't played in the playoffs. The Trevor Lawrence, we know the history there.
Those are the top three seeds.
Lamar, his history is not great. He's hanging on right now for the 4th spot. Justin Herbert, we know about his playoff history. Not great so far. Daniel Jones, are you kidding me?
We don't even think he's going to make
the
playoffs.
Then Josh Allen, who has won games, has not won in the AFC title game, though. Those are the quarterbacks right now. And so out of that grouping, look, the Buffalo Bills are so Jekyll and Hyde, I can't figure them out. I actually think if the Patriots got the number one seed, and they got to wait until the divisional round, and they got 2 home games in Foxborough with their weather, I would pick Drake May and the Patriots if you gave me that exact path. Now, if Kansas City sneaks in and all of a sudden it's Mahomes and Allen, even if they're going on the road, then I'm probably picking one of those two still to figure it out. But there's so much I trust the Patriots with Vrabel more than I still do with Trevor Lawrence and Liam Cohen, more than I do with Justin Herbert and Harbaugh. I just do at this point, and that's not by much. That's what's crazy about the AFC right now.
I think what stands out about it is Denver is – this will give Denver a lot of credit.
Oh, Knicks didn't win. I'm sorry.
He lost his only playoff game. This is the only reason that, Denver might be my answer, even though I don't particularly like watching them play most of the time. And I feel like they get in rock fights with bad teams, including last night.
Mm-hmm.
Denver is the only team out of any of these teams you've listed that I know for sure is great at one thing, right? There's not a single other team in the AFC that I am sure they are great at something that is actively in the playoff field. Because I could say the same thing about the Texans as Denver. I know for a fact those two teams will play defense. They will get to the quarterback and it will cause you problems. I do not know for sure Drake May will show up. I sure as hell don't know anything about the Jags or their inconsistency or the Ravens or the Chiefs or the Colts or any of these other teams or the Bills included. The only thing I know about the Bills for sure is James Cook is good. Josh Allen's awesome. Having a weirdly down year for him. Mm-hmm. Not for most quarterbacks, but for him. I got no idea. The NFC, I just feel like everyone's the same level of good. Does that make I'm not blown away by anybody.
Wildcard teams are 9-3 right now, I think.
Yeah, they're all about the same. The 49ers are about the same as good as probably the Rams, about the same as good as the Eagles. That one's just going to be one of those. I won't be surprised if a 2 finally beats a 7, a 6 gets to the NFC title game, that kind of thing. That's
yeah, tomorrow we're going to talk. We'll go back now that we're in the month of December. We'll look at our preseason divisional and playoff pictures. It should be interesting to see what we predicted.
I'm looking closer in the AFC South now because I think I chose the Texans.
Okay, fair enough. So we'll do that tomorrow. But I mean, the Eagles, that offense, through their run, they've fired coordinators before. It sounds like they're not going to fire their OC right now. That offense is completely broken in Philadelphia. And they're 8-4. I don't think the Cowboys are going to catch them, but it's certainly gotten interesting. The Cowboys get the Lions, if you're wondering, on Thursday Night Football. If Dallas wins that and gets to 7-5-1, and the Eagles, I don't know who they play. They're just coming off the loss to Chicago. I don't know who they have this coming week. If they were to lose again, then the NFC East would get very interesting. All right, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
Eagles Chargers, for what it's worth.
Oh, okay. Well, you want the
Next
Eagles to win.
Monday night.
You should want the Eagles to win that game, though, yep. If you're a Chiefs fan. As much as we hate Philadelphia, but it's what you need. All right, Trash of the Day takes us to something that I thought we kind of already had, but all right. A home electronics retailer in Tokyo unveiled a human washing machine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the company has not decided when to start selling it. You lie down in this capsule. You are washed by the machine with micro bubbles and a fine mist shower. The whole process includes drying, completes in about 15 minutes. The sensor monitors the bather's health during use while the machine provides relaxing visuals and music. Now, I'm looking at it. It obviously doesn't look like a shower, but I would just say, I'll just use the shower. Thank you. A human washing machine is called a shower. It's called a shower. I got to lay down and I'm going like
this
I'm going
like an awfully big home appliance.
Yeah, but where are you putting this? In the garage?
This feels like it'd be good for the elderly.
Okay, I'll hear you out there. Or a nursing, or like nursing home, so you don't have to help bathe, is what you're saying.
Yeah, for an able-bodied person, I don't find a shower to be that daunting. It takes like 10 minutes. It's very little work, you know, and that's including like washing every single part of your body. So like for this feels like if maybe you were elderly or you had a disability, I could see the benefit of this. If it's not that, it's also just weird calling it a human washing machine. It makes me feel like I'm going through the car wash.
Well, that's what it is. Yeah. It says a fine mist with micro bubbles. I mean, you're just laying there and you're just getting clean for 15 minutes.
I'm going to be totally honest with you. I don't know if I would consistently want to be washed this way, I suppose, but I'm down to try it.
Oh, I would try it one time.
Absolutely. The fact that they provide, I would want to experience it for what music is playing, what are the visuals? Because if it's very peaceful and calming and it's like, you know what, I actually can vibe with this, then maybe it's something I would want to do.
I would never buy it. You're right. One time I would like to experience it just to see what it's
how
like.
Much, is the juice worth the squeeze?
Like 60, how much money? 60 million yen.
I looked it up. That's right? 386,000 US dollars.
Like, who's buying this? Who's buying this?
I'll tell you right now, if I spend 400 grand on this thing, it better not miss a spot.
Well, yeah.
You better feel clean.
Yeah. I agree. I better feel squeaky clean. If I'm spending 400 grand on the day. That's what I said. Like, if you ran like a high-end nursing home for people with a lot of dough, and you put this thing in the lobby and this is the way that we did bad time, maybe you're onto something.
But like, you're next up. Sit down.
It's like a car wash for
you wouldn't
citizens.
Put it in the lobby.
Either. You got a monthly membership like your car wash membership?
I guess.
On top of the water bill, I'm going to have to pay an extra $100 a month to take a shower, to use this machine. Yamada is the name of the company.
I don't know.
A human washing machine. 2.3 meter long capsule. And you just sit there.
The $300,000 part is where you lose me. If it was like...
Yeah, what's the price for you? I mean, it takes up too much space, to Cody's point.
It would need to cost like a normal bathtub, like a spa jetting tub.
Someone's saying, you know,
or like a hot tub or something. Yeah. Maybe $5,000, but it can't be $300.
I'm shocked it took this long to get this text, and I get it. Someone said there better be some extra features included.
Jeez,
with a little wink and a nod there.
I'm just saying the text line is spot on.
Gosh,
there you go. That is the trash of the day.
Somebody says maybe at a fancy gym or spa. One of those like bougie New York gyms. I could see it there. You're like, I got to go do my business meeting.
It takes 15 minutes.
Business
you're waiting.
Meeting with business people. You don't want to go home.
You're going to have multiple machines. 15 minutes. You got to sit around for 15 minutes. You just got done working out at the gym. And you got to stand there for 15 minutes while this other dude's naked in a capsule.
Maybe they can run a business.
Anyway.
Stuff, you know?
All right.
Maybe they can run some meeting notes.
Keep an eye out for that.
Get a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's give you the latest update on the Chiefs offensive line injuries and back in.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Into the playoff path for the Chiefs.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Here in 25 minutes, Andy Reid going to speak to the media. The only place you can hear from Coach Reid on a Monday right here. You're home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. So you do not want to miss that. It's been a bit since we heard from Andy Reid heading into this week's game. We'll find out, obviously, just kind of where things are trending. I don't know if we'll get a full explanation on some of the injuries, but I want to start the Red Half Hour actually talking about the offensive line injuries. I saw Matt Verderam from SI, who we've had on the show numerous times. He tweeted out that he's being told the Chiefs, of course, expect Josh Simmons to be out long term with that wrist injury, that that's not the case with Juwan Taylor. Taylor, who has a tricep injury, could play this week against the Texans, depending on, of course, how he feels. So we may not know till Friday, but it seems like there is a real chance that Juwan Taylor's playing. Trey Smith still feels like we got to wait another week. Remember, when he got hurt and then the short turnaround in the Cowboys game, the initial reporting from Ian Rappaport was it could be multiple weeks.
It was, and I hope that, look, here's the thing. Sometimes desperation spurs it, right? Mm-hmm. In the sense that, normally, maybe you wouldn't do that, but you got a short glimpse of Wanya Morris and a long glimpse of him last year, where they pretty quickly turned to their guard, Joe Tooney, to make the starting left tackle spot and had to make that adjustment. The real question is, if Wanya completely failed, let's say Juwan Taylor couldn't play, would they go back to Kingsley at tackle?
No. It would be Wanya. Absolutely not. It would be Jalen Moore and Wanya.
Kingsley's done fine at guard, and I wouldn't mess with that either.
Jalen Moore or Wanya? I doubt the, you know, Twitter's favorite poll who was activated, what's his name, from the practice squad. I doubt they would just start the third string option at that point in time. So it'd probably be, Wanya and Jalen Moore.
So they desperately need Juwan Taylor to play. And this is, despite the fact, there's been plenty of times this year, he is one of the most frustrating players on the team. Because he refuses to change the thing that they call him on, and he's not gonna, and he's just gonna hope they don't call him. Like, that's it. His whole strategy for being lined up illegally is, I hope they don't call it this time, because I'm certainly not gonna change where I stand, and that's just the decision he's decided to make. And you and I both know when he's not being called for face masks near the goal line, or devastating holding calls, or, the lining up offsides on the offensive line. He's not being called for those. He's a very effective pass blocker, which is probably why he's refused to change some of these things. They've got massive problems, man. They can be okay if they can find some way to keep Patrick Mahomes alive for Sunday. Because then, Trey could be back a week after Sunday, I think. You'd have another week where Juwan heals And Jalen Moore was a serviceable, pretty good left tackle the entire time Simmons had missed for personal reasons. And so they can be back to being a good offensive line, but they have to get through the Texans first.
Number one defense in football.
And I don't know how they do it.
Will Anderson and company. That's the big issue. I actually think they, you know, defensively, the Chiefs defensively match up pretty well against the Texans. I really believe that despite the issues we've discussed with their pass rush. I actually think defensively Kansas City can be in a really good spot for this game. But what you said is, of course, the key against the Texans. How much are Will Anderson and company going to just wreck the game? We saw them do it to a lot of teams this year. We just saw them a week and a half ago or whatever it was against Josh Allen and the Bills. And of course, Allen is you know, very, very mobile, and he got destroyed with their offensive line injuries. We just saw the Texans cause problems all day long for Daniel Jones and the Colts. Now, Daniel Jones also with a fractured fibula, so he was limited in his mobility. I understand that. But that's if you're going to sum up what we're going to discuss all week long, which is the Texans and what the Chiefs have to do to keep their season alive and all that, it clearly starts with, are they going to be able to protect Mahomes? So he's going to get sacked once or twice in the game. I'm talking about, how do you allow it to only be once or twice and not allow it to be five times and where they just destroy the game? That's the difference, right? You're going to get sacked with that front. They're that good. You cannot let it be the 5-6 sack type of performance, which is what the Texans have done a couple times. They sacked Josh Allen, what, 8 times?
Yep.
I think it was.
Yeah, they sometimes go off in bunches. Look, I think the Chiefs are going to have to win some 17-14 game, 20-17, 14-10.
I don't care how they have to win it.
No, I don't care either, but I'm just like, in order to win this game, they're going to have to win it low. Like, this isn't some game they win 27-24.
See, you say that, and I hear you, but also at the same time, I would argue, can they win? I don't know if they can win. I think their best path is if somehow offensively they're great, they get to 28, because I don't think the Texans can get to 28. You see, you're saying it's going to be 17-14, and I agree.
Because of the pressure.
I think if that's the case, then they're probably losing, I guess is what I'm saying.
This is the toughest part about this game on Sunday, and I know we'll talk more about it as the week goes on. The offensive line stuff, it's the worst time for it.
It really is.
It's not just like we're having offensive line problems. It's we're having offensive line problems against a team that seemingly is sacking the quarterback 10 to 15 times per game. There's not a worse time to be without your starting left tackle for the rest of the season. Maybe your starting right tackle is either out or limited, and your starting right guard is still not available. And it's still a first-year starting in his position left guard, and I guess Creed. The one stalwart holding strong. Creed Humphrey, the guy in the line who's decided to play every game this season. And look, the funny part is, I saw a Bears fan actually today say, the biggest fleece we're not talking about the offseason, the fourth round pick for Joe Tooney. What's funny is, that would rank 15th on the things I think the Chiefs did in the offseason that hurt them. 20th. I don't know. Kingsley's been fine and saved him a ton of money in order to move on. That was a savvy,
I agree,
normal NFL move. I'm not. I still wouldn't even go back and reverse that deal. That's not even where their problems begin.
Neither with the Chiefs. Yeah, Kingsley has not been an issue, and you still, considering the age of Joe Tooney. Look, the Bears are having a great year. It's not all just because Joe Tooney is on the Chicago Bears. Like, it's not. That's not the trade that is why Chicago's the number one seed in the NFC.
They got him some blocking, and that has certainly made
and
the Bears
Ben Johnson.
Better.
Ben Johnson's been awesome for that offense. Like, Caleb Williams is not even playing that great. He just, you know, you look at this past week. It was because they have an unbelievable run scheme now, and they're treating Menungai and Swift like a discount version of Montgomery and Gibbs that he had in Detroit. But that's a whole other conversation we'll get to during stock up or stock down.
Caleb Williams is not, like, his numbers are not going to wow you off the page. Yardage, yards per attempt, touchdowns, any of it. Yeah. But he's not turning the ball over. And because of that, they're winning a lot of games. And, like, this is what's been the most frustrating part about the Chiefs this year, too, is another one of many frustrating things, probably not the most, but there's been a couple of games where they're not even losing the turnover battle. Like, against Dallas, they won the turnover battle. I don't know what Patrick Mahomes' actual record is when they win the turnover battle, but I bet they win 95% of the games in which they win the turnover battle in his career. I'll bet it's something like that, 95%, Gold. I'll bet it's an incredible percentage. And yet, still, they're losing these games. They're finding ways to lose. There's no other way to put it.
And that is why.
The offensive line and all that.
And that is why when you look at the path forward for Kansas City, and yes, mathematically, they don't have to win out. I'm just telling you, I think they have to win out. I understand there are scenarios where they could still lose another game. I don't buy it, though. I just don't with the tiebreaker. So I think they have to win out. And the issue is not on an individual game basis. On an individual game, outlook, yeah, I can see them winning every single one of them. They're going to be favorites again in every single one of these games the rest of the way. That's not the problem. It's what you said, though. Can they consistently get out of their own damn way in the biggest moments and make the big play? They can do it on Sunday against the Texans. Yeah, they can do it against the Titans, but can they do it the next week? And I'm off on my exact schedule, but can they do it then against the Chargers? And then can they do it against the Broncos? Like, I think they can do it multiple times down the stretch, but every single week, I have seen nothing to suggest that they are going to get out of their own way for five straight games. They can do it for three straight. They can do it for four straight after losing on Sunday. That'd be the worst scenario, by the way. They lose Sunday, yeah, and then they win out after that.
Because then it would give you hope, right? And they'd fall one game short. And you'd
so that's my issue. When we watched them play, and I watched the beginning of that Cowboys game, that was as good as they had looked on offense all year. The defense came out with energy and looked great. And then we all know how the rest of the game went. And then when they had to make the big play, and even when there's a gift of a fumble on the ground this year, they're just not around the football.
And there's three Chiefs standing there. They let Turpin slide in and steal the ball instead. Look, I know in a weird way, I know it's wrong, but if you made me today say, are they making the playoffs? I'd say yes. And the only reason is Patrick Mahomes.
But they've had him all year.
I think genuinely, I don't have a good argument to say yes. Like, I can't come on the show and be like, hold on, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let me give you some stats for why I absolutely think no. I don't have it other than they're a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense.
Mahomes is the number one EPA quarterback in the league now. That's why you use the word frustrating. That's exactly why it's frustrating. I hope I'm wrong. I gladly will eat crow on it. I don't believe they're making the postseason. I don't think they can win five straight, and I hope they do. I just don't think consistency has been there for a five-game stretch at any point.
That's fair.
And that's the challenge. And while the schedule is easier, the Texans game is tougher now than what we thought it was going to be 3 weeks ago. The Broncos game is tougher than what we thought it was going to be a month and a half ago. You know, the Chargers, depending on this Herbert thing, we'll see. I don't know what to make of that.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
So,
obviously, the Titans and the Raiders, they will win those games. But the Broncos, Chargers, and Texans, are they winning all three of those?
If you made me guess based on the way this team's played, the answer is no. The only thing, and again, one more leg I maybe have to stand on here, Gold, is you and I would both admit this has been a better team at winning close games at home. They've been a better team at home. Those three games you mentioned, Texans, Chargers, Broncos, those are
all at home, yeah.
The road games are against the Titans and the Raiders. And to be honest, if they're losing those games, we should just stop having this conversation right now and start looking at mock drafts.
Right.
And get to those things outside of there. So, I don't think it's likely. I don't say it with any kind of confidence. It's just, there's parts of this team that still work, and it's hard for me to get in this mode where I'm like, no, they're not a playoff team. Part of me is just like, I have a hard time believing it, honestly. And this will go back to, and we'll talk about this for sure at the end of the season, if they end up missing the playoffs. What a massive failure this season will be.
Yeah,
of course. You have Patrick Mahomes playing at a high level in his prime age for playing quarterback, and Andy Reid is still your coach, and you missed the playoffs? How?
I would argue
what
that's...
What did you screw up?
Any year with Patrick Mahomes in which he's fully healthy and you miss the playoffs is a failure. It's plain
massive
and simple.
Failure.
I think everybody in the organization, I would hope, in fact, I would hope, would agree with that. If, in fact, they miss the playoffs and you had a fully healthy Patrick Mahomes all year and a wide receiver room that's been healthy all year, Chris Jones been healthy all year, Trent McDuffie healthy all year, if all that stands true and it is at this exact moment, then absolutely there is no reason to claim that it's not a failure. Now, they got 5 weeks to make sure it's not a failure still. That's the beautiful thing. They do have a chance still. But I just have not seen enough reason to think that five straight. Individually, sure. Yeah. Like, I actually think they could beat the Texans on Sunday, Cody. But the issue is, can they put together and get out of their own way against the Chargers a few weeks after that?
I don't know. And someone's asking the text line, like, well, I don't know. Do the Broncos hit their starters later this year?
Well, that's not the last week of the year.
Chargers.
That's not the last week
of the year. No, and they take on the Chargers for the last week, so that could have an impact on Kansas City. And the truth is, that's why you should be rooting for the Patriots to keep winning and the Broncos to keep winning. They're out of your class for a standing perspective. You want the final 2 weeks of the season to matter to the Broncos. You want them playing for the number one seed. You want them playing for something. Because the only two teams, and we talked about this earlier, the only two teams I think the Chiefs can catch are the Chargers and the Colts. The Jags are off that list now. They just are. They've won too many games. You're two games behind them and a tiebreaker. You're going to play three games better than them in five games? Don't think so. So, like, it's not plausible for them to catch anybody that they don't have a tiebreaker with. And at least with the Chargers, they can still catch up one of those games by beating them head-to-head. And I'm not saying they will. This very well might end up just going down as a massively disappointing season, and you and I are going to be playing the Mock Draft Center in January.
No.
When?
Nope. Nope.
When the Chiefs
When you were gone, it got played one time when Bink filled in.
Oh, my God, yeah. It did?
Because their first one came out.
Drew surprised us.
Wow. Yeah. Who'd they take?
Well, they were picking 15th or whatever, 12th or whatever it was. So
that'd be
Christian Miller from Georgia.
I'll tell you right now. If the Chiefs end up picking between 12th and 15th and do not take a defensive lineman, I'll finally be mad at Veach like the rest of you. If they do not take if they pick in the top 15 and that pick is not a defensive lineman, what the hell are we even doing here? What are you doing with that pick? Tell me one other position in which they should take with a top 15 selection on this team.
This is why, going back to the McDuffie thing, you have to explore all avenues to to stockpile a few extra picks, I think, if you want to get this roster long-term heading in a better direction than where it currently sits.
We'll get there if we get to that point, Cody, but I think there could be, if Jeremiah Love is available somehow, it would be very tempting.
At 15 or something?
It would be very tempting.
Yeah. Someone says wide receiver room healthy all year. Yeah, Worthy missed what, two games?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would argue this wide receiver room has been very healthy.
All three of them have been on the field. What every game since Rasheed's been back, all three of them, Hollywood, yeah. Rasheed, and Xavier have been on the field.
Yeah. So that to me cannot be used as an excuse this year. The wide receiver, like Rashee Rice, was a suspension, but that goes back to him. That was a decision, a very selfish decision that hurt this team. There's
and
no doubt
now.
But they since what
still losing
since week seven, they've been full go.
Yeah.
I mean, all three have been playing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So The wide receiver room. Someone says, I'm surprised Drew hasn't mentioned you guys maybe wearing the Hooters outfit again for the 100th time. The bet has nothing to do with the Chiefs making the playoffs. The Chiefs can miss the playoffs and we still could win the bet. The issue would be if the Bengals out of nowhere win the AFC North.
They did get some help over the weekend.
I knew you'd be excited about that.
Well, but one of those teams is going to stay at least two games ahead of Cincinnati because
they play each other this weekend. Look, Drew would agree. Cincinnati has Buffalo on Sunday. If the Bills beat Cincinnati, then I think we'll finally admit it's over. Well, maybe.
If Cincinnati wins, then they're very much alive.
The Bengals have to win every game the rest of the way.
Yeah.
If they lose, then it's done. But if they win, then it, you know.
I got to say, the only reason I give Cincinnati a chance in that division is
Thanks.
Awful.
I think 9-8 is what wins it.
Ravens beat the Steelers, and then everything is fine.
Until they lose to the Bengals again the week after. And then we're right back to it.
Yeah.
Oh, the Ravens play them after?
Yeah.
Well, that get it to one.
No. Steelers are toast.
I think it's
a Ravens division to win at this point. To lose, I should say.
Is Aaron Rodgers done now?
I don't know about that.
He looked pretty uncomfortable when he landed on that already fractured wrist and Mason Rudolph came in throwing prayer balls.
As we know, Mason Rudolph, it doesn't work until closer to Christmas. They were not going to get it that mad. It's too early. It was way too early to bring him in.
It
was November yesterday. It's December today.
He wasn't good.
That's why Mason Rudolph
was like
good.
Second pass, he threw a pick.
Snow's on the ground in Kansas City. Jingle bell songs, all that stuff. Mason Rudolph's going to be good the rest of the way if Rodgers is out now. His time to shine.
If he actually comes out and throws for like 300 yards on Sunday, I will be fully convinced that it is a thing.
That Mason Rudolph plays,
I will be fully convinced. If he goes from what he was yesterday when he filled in until he got benched for Aaron to come back in.
Although not as bad as Brosmer.
We'll do stock up,
stock down later. It's not fair to put him in there because the stock was very high anyway.
It wasn't even listed on the market. You couldn't even buy Brosmer stock or whatever.
It was pretty bad if you chose to buy it.
You couldn't even buy it.
That throw he made in that game was Will Levis-esque.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was doing.
They had Justin Jefferson as the third emergency quarterback. They might as well, at this point, just give him the ball and just see what happens. He had 4 yards yesterday.
Four?
Two catches for 4 yards.
Justin Jefferson's going to want out of Minneapolis. They don't find a quarterback here pretty soon.
Obviously
I want Justin Jefferson.
Hang on. Would you trade Trent McDuffie and two firsts for Justin Jefferson?
Why gonna give him two firsts?
No,
that's not a fair deal.
No.
If you said straight up, or
well,
I gotta
not
give
do that
Trent McDuffie and a first.
Yes,
and one first.
Come on down.
Okay.
Are you kidding? I don't care about any other. Remember all those things I just said about defensive line? Don't care. You just tell me Justin Jefferson here. I'll figure it out. I'll solve those problems a different way, man. I just will. Like that solves too many problems. Sure. Justin Jefferson becomes available. I'm in. I don't think that's gonna happen. For what that's worth. I think the rest of the league, that'd be like when Randy Moss ended up a Patriot. There'd be a couple of seasons there, man, where that'd be pretty fun gold. Although, again, I don't think I have to worry about it. We can ask, maybe Andy Reid could ask about Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that's exactly how the press conference is going to go.
I will text Nate right now. Hey, man, yeah. Do us a solid.
Mm-hmm.
Andy would be like, what the hell are you talking about right now?
I got to ask real quick before we get to a break. In our folder, Drew, there's a drop, and Cody and I saw this, and yeah, there's a drop. And by the way, unless it involves, unless there's cursing involved, you guys don't get to put drop, don't play over there. Just because it's embarrassing. That's the whole point of the drop. We didn't delete me saying Tennessee cities. We bleeped it.
I mean,
Logan drop, don't play over air. No, there's no reason not to play it.
I didn't ask. I just said probably don't do it. If you want to play,
It's only embarrassing. There's no cursing in it.
Go ahead and
light
play.
Or dark. I only care about meat in my mouth.
He just doesn't like it, but that's
what now?
Light or dark. I only care about meat in my mouth.
Look, Logan's got a drop now. That's it. Why does it say don't play over the air?
I don't know.
That's not how that works.
No, I don't know. I just...
That's not how any of this works. Right?
That's an interesting thought on Thanksgiving.
You had Cody gagging over here.
That's something.
I'm taken aback. That's how I was. That's why I said don't play it. I was like, excuse me.
It's not technically breaking any rules.
I know, but I was like, I'm going to do Logan a solid.
Do a massage. You still cut it in the system. You should never cut it if you're trying to do a solid.
I needed to save it.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, like, you say stuff.
I had a few inches to spare.
We don't delete that.
We leave all the
mistakes. Those stay in there, man.
God dang.
It just stays in there. Anyway, up next, we're going to head out to Arrowhead. Going to hear from Andy Reid exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.